I open my eyes. The ceiling, sooty from the gaslight, comes into view. The curtains are drawn. I do not know what time of day it is. I hear whispering. Gemma. She opened her eyes. I saw her. Felicity and Anne. They rush over and sit on the bed beside me, taking my hands in theirs. Gemma, it's Anne. How are you feeling? We were so worried about you. They said you had a fever, so naturally they wouldn't allow us to come until I insisted. You've been asleep for 3 days, Felicity says. 3 days? Still so tired. They found you at Baker Street. What were you doing there, near Miss Moore's rooms? Miss Moore. Miss Moore is Circe. She has found the temple. I have failed. I have lost everything. I turn my head to the wall. Anne prattles on. With all the excitement, Lady Denby hasn't had a chance yet to tell Mrs. Worthington about me. Simon has been here every day, Gemma, Felicity says. Every day. That must make you happy. Gemma? Anne says, concerned. I don't care. My voice is so small and dry. What do you mean you don't care? I thought you were mad for him. He's mad for you, it seems. That is happy news, isn't it? Felicity says. I've lost the temple. What do you mean? Anne asks. It is too much to explain. My head throbs. I want to sleep and never wake. We were wrong about Miss Macleady. About everything. Miss Moore is Circe. I won't look at them. I can't. I took her into the realms. She has the power now. It is over. I'm sorry. No more magic, Anne says. I shake my head. It hurts to do it. But what about Pippa? Felicity says, starting to cry. I close my eyes. I'm tired, I say. It can't be, Anne says, sniffling. No more realms. I don't answer. Instead, I feign sleep until I hear the bed creak with their leaving. I lie there, staring at nothing. A crack of light peeks through the drawn curtains. It is day, after all. Not that it matters to me one whit. In the evening, Tom carries me into the parlour to sit by the fire.
You've a surprise visitor, he says.
With me in his arms, he pushes open the parlour doors. Simon has come without his mother. Tom puts me on the settee and covers me with a blanket. I probably look a fright, but I can't seem to care.
I'll have Mrs. Jones bring tea,
Tom says, backing out of the room. Though he leaves the doors open, Simon and I are on our own.
How are you feeling?
He asks. I say nothing.
You gave us all quite a scare. How did you end up in such a dreadful place?
This Christmas tree has dried out. It's losing its needles in clumps.
We thought perhaps someone wished a ransom. Perhaps that fellow who followed you at Victoria wasn't a figment of your imagination after all.
Simon, he looks so worried. I should say something to comfort him. I clear my throat. Nothing comes. His hair is exactly the colour of a dull coin.
I've something for you,
he says, coming closer. He pulls a brooch from his coat pocket. It is decorated with many pearls and looks quite old and valuable.
This belonged to the first Viscountess of Denby,
Simon says, holding the feather-light pearl brooch between his fingers. He clears his throat twice.
It's over 100 years old and has been worn by the women in my family. It would go to my sister, if I had a sister, which I don't, but you know that.
He clears his throat again. He pins it to the lace of my bed jacket. I understand vaguely that I am wearing his promise. I understand that things have changed greatly with this one small gesture.
Miss Doyle, Gemma, may I be so bold?
He gives me a chaste kiss, very different from the one the night of the ball. Tom returns with Mrs. Jones and tea. The men sit speaking jovially, while I continue to stare at the pine needles drifting to the floor, sinking into the settee, the weight of the brooch holding me down.